Yesterday morning, the first topic that Ajahn said she would like to talk about was what the Buddha realized. And she mentioned that what the Buddha realized is what is appearing now, realities now, such as seeing, such as visible object. And after his enlightenment, he taught everything he had realized. And I mentioned this in a summary on DSG, our discussion list. And a friend wrote back and he said, discourses in which the Buddha described the enlightenment in different terms are regarding dependent arising, the three true knowledges, escape in the case of the five khandhas, the elements, the dhatus, sensual desires, feeling, the world, in terms of the four right endeavors. And he gives lots of sutta references. And then the four foundations of mindfulness, the four indriyas, abandonment of evil thoughts, probably many others. Of course, in the broadest sense, all of these can be placed under what the Buddha, what he realized about what is appearing now. I'm curious about the discussions in Gangrajan regarding what the Buddha experienced as part of enlightenment. Did the discussion draw upon the rich variety mentioned by the Buddha across so many suttas?
Just to experience with understanding of whatever appears. No matter he taught about paticca-samuppada, dhatu, or anything, just for to be conditions for a moment of realization of what is now appearing. For example, why do we think or talk, learn about seeing right now? Because there is seeing right now. And it can be by any subject, like the Four Noble Truths. The first dukkha is the arising and falling of whatever appears. See, the first dukkha. And the second dukkha, there is attachment with the idea of self, for sure. When there is ignorance and know nothing about seeing and that which is seen. And it will lead to abandon the kilesa so that it can experience nibbana. As long as there is ignorance and attachment, it's impossible to experience nibbana at all. So how can the kilesa be eradicated without moment of experiencing nibbana? Because anything can be object of attachment, only the Lokuttara Dhamma, which cannot. And now, if we don't talk about whatever appears now, there is no use to talk about anything, because can it lead to whatever appears now with right understanding? So this is the path, the beginning of the path, because there cannot be Satipatthana right now for sure. But from hearing and hearing on and on, and there is detachment from clinging to Upadana Khanda and less ignorance, it's time for Panya to develop so that it can experience Nibbana and the Four Noble Truths. So just talk about a moment can lead to all of the teachings, just to understand directly with no idea of self and no attachment to just wanting other subject or wanting just to experience instantly. It's impossible. Because you see that we talk about Paramattha Dhamma, we talk about citta cetasikas, we talk about conditions. But what about now? It begins Sankhara Khanda, start to develop little by little so that it can turn to whatever appears instead of going astray to other dream or other story. So just talk about whatever appears, and it's all there in Tipitaka, all three Tipitakas. So it doesn't matter what subject we would talk about, it concerns this moment. For example, virya. See, who knows that virya does not arise with seeing consciousness? And the citta without hetu, 16 of them, at the moment, even moment of moha-mula-citta, ignorance, that is virya. Just to be there, as to condition that which does not appear like the 10 citta which sees, hears, smell, taste and touch. Otherwise, it needs virya. Does sampatichana have virya?
Sampatichana is ahituka.
Yeah. No need to have sampatichana. Because it received the object from moment of seeing, and the object hasn't fallen away yet. So no need to arise as karma produced it to receive the object after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. So no virya, no need to have virya, see? So we learn to understand the anatomy of realities, because one day there can be moment of beginning to understand little by little the nature of that which sees and that which appears.
And Santirana also no need for virya.
Right.
I just said we learn to see the anatta-ness of realities when mentioning sampatichana, sampirana.
And any reality.
But in the case, when you said that, you're talking about something which cannot be experienced.
But can be understood and as anatta.
How is it understood as anatta?
To understand the Buddha's virtues, his great wisdom, that no one knows. One thinks that after seeing there is attachment or kusala or aversion or anything that can appear, that at the moment of seeing there is that. But actually, the mind or process and the sense or process arises in between. So many, many processes. So we learn to understand who we are and who is Buddha, quite
yes,
far apart.
That I accept, but when you say we understand anatta,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand how we can understand anatta by thinking about sampatichana.
There must be listening, suttamaya panya, and panya which conditioned by sutta, wisely. Because you see that without the Buddha's words at all, there's no channel to understand reality right now. But the moment he spoke any word, that word is like the channel which will lead to understand whatever appears now.
But
it does mean that you can understand like Buddha understood at all. Mm-hmm.
If it leads, I can understand later on.
Yeah.
It can be a condition for direct understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But
of some, not all.
Of some.
Yeah, as much as.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
But as of now, when hearing about it, how is there any understanding?
For example, who conditioned seeing to arise? Who can make it arise? Who can have it arise at will?
This can there can be understood.
Okay, but after that. See, it's impossible for kusala and akusala to arise suddenly. That is not our understanding, but it's the Buddha's understanding. So one begins to see the difference between I and Buddha.
Yes, that I understand.
So after seeing, Buddha said that seeing conditioned the next moment to receive that which is seen, but not seeing. See? Who can tell the subtle difference between the two? And so on. See, the Buddha. So he taught all about cittas in details so that we can see more and more about anatta-ness.
That's what my question is. How is seeing, thinking about these details?
Because you cannot imagine.
can we say that it's another way to remind us about anatta?
To understand. And to understand.
To remind us about anatta.
I think, Sukhin, by appreciating that these cittas just arise in a process by niyama, it's like a fixed order. So after seeing, there has to be another citta, also ahetuka, also no virya, and then another vipaka, ahetuka citta. It helps to appreciate how no one can do anything. Like sometimes people have the idea of stopping at feeling or doing this or focusing on an object. And by appreciating that by conditions, there must be a moment of seeing, and after that, another vipaka citta, and then another vipaka citta. It's a way of just understanding how by conditions cittas arise. So it's all just to appreciate, as Sundara says, no self that can do anything at all. So it doesn't really matter what name is given, but just to understand that cittas arise in a particular order by conditions. Nothing.
See, that's my argument. He thinks that what he agrees with what you're saying. But my point is, anatta is a characteristic of reality.
How do you believe that?
How do I believe that when there's understanding that seeing now arises by conditions?
And does it fall away?
It falls away.
How do you believe that?
Because there's something else.
Like sampatichanna.
But I don't experience sampatichanna the same way as I
But you do not experience the falling away of seeing.
Not the falling away, but...
And the arising of...
But there's something else.
What?
After seeing.
Something. What is something?
Hearing, thinking.
Suddenly?
It's there. When it's there, it means it has arisen.
So you mean that after seeing, hearing arises?
Or thinking or whatever. I'm not saying immediately. So, I'm just saying because... there is hearing, it means the seeing has fallen away, or there's thinking.
This is as much as one can think about, but Buddha knew beyond this.
Yes, the Buddha knew directly, but we cannot even refer.
You would when you were Buddha.
So how is understanding anatta when I just think that there is sampatichanna after seeing? Or santirana after sampatichanna?
Because Buddha told us. No one can do that at all.
One of the things that came up yesterday and I find helpful, and I think Sarah was touching on this too, was that it can be just potentially useless information. You know, you might just know all these different things and the different processes, and you might know them all very intimately. And if you're not applying them, then it's not helpful. Almost, you know, like you can think about all these things, and you know you might.
So if you're not applying them, it means if you have no understanding about them, then it's not helpful.
That's right.
If one's just learning,
just a list of all these different things, and you can be very clever at it. You can be very clever at knowing all these lists inside out and upside down and back to front. And if you're not applying them at the level of what is appearing now, allowing panya to grow, then it's all for just show sometimes. It might be just for show or for showing off. But
sorry, what do you mean by applying them?
What I mean by applying them, if the understanding of those realities which appear now, that's what I'm talking about, the applying of wisdom to the present moment, rather than just...
I think that we are learning the Buddha's teaching, no matter we believe or not, but we are learning the truth. And can we understand each word of him, like seeing, arises, see? Who knows? There is seeing, okay, but it's I who see. And in order to understand the seeing is just a reality which does not belong to anyone at all, we begin to learn that seeing is conditioned to arise from his teachings. So it doesn't mean that we believe or we do not believe, but we are learning the words that we hear from the teachings.
You're right, we take seeing for eye seeing and seeing something. And so when we hear the Dhamma and say the seeing just experiences visible object, we can have some understanding, intellectual understanding about that very experience, because that seeing is happening now. But when it comes to Santivrana, it's not something that we can referent. I can understand it in a way that, okay,
not only that, I think that many things are cetasikas and rupa. No one can experience at all.
Passive cetasika.
Right. But it's there, pasa, even with the
like,
seeing.
But right? Sampatichana is there.
But it's not, doesn't appear.
Like pasa does not appear.
But pasa is with the seeing.
How do you know? It doesn't appear.
It does not appear.
Only seeing for you appears. So you don't believe in that.
So, right. So we can have some understanding about pasa, although
and
it does
we
not
can have some understanding about what sampatichana.
Sampatichana.
Yeah, there is pasa as well.
But the pasa, we understand when we reference.
So
the
you
scene.
Believe
so
in pasa of seeing and pasa of kusalacitta, not other pasa.
It's not a question of belief, Achan. It's and that's what I'm going to let me explain now. About sampatichana, I can have better understanding
knows.
About it if I reference.
We just learn.
Seeing.
We just learn that it's there from the words
but
of the
and
teaching.
But it's a chitta.
Pardon?
Sampatichana is a chitta.
Certainly, there's so
many
chittas.
So we can have some understanding
like
of sampatichana and chitta.
And what about lokuttara chitta?
No understanding at all.
So,
but it's also a chitta.
Yes. So you. No, and sampatichana is also achitta.
Yes. So I understand sampatichana, if I understand seeing, means indirectly.
That there is other chitta
there
besides
other chitta.
The ten.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my argument with Robert, that when we hear about these things, we are referencing what we can experience. But just without this understanding of what appears now, then there cannot be understanding of all those other chittas.
But I think we can say it's not a rule, like you say, sometimes one can read lists and details and it's just self-accumulating for worldly knowledge and of no use, so it depends. But for example, like now, we think that colour or visible object is there all the time, that the world is light, but when one begins to appreciate that only at the moment of seeing colour or light appears, and it's just one very brief chitta, and then even in the eye-door process, many other chittas, other vipaka chittas, gotapana, kusala, akusala, all those moments in the eye-door process, no light, no colour appears, just the dark world, and so one appreciates how short seeing is. So I think all these little details help to can, if considered wisely, can help bring the understanding closer and closer to the reality. Or like the other day, Alan was talking about effort, or we were all talking about effort and right effort and wrong effort, laziness or work, but when one appreciates, okay, at these moments of vipaka citta, no effort, just arise by condition, so no question of making an effort or being lazy, and then moment of votapana, it needs virya, and then kusala, akusala need virya to experience the object. It helps to appreciate more how virya is conditioned dhamma. No one can make it arise at will. No one can make it arise at moment of seeing or immediately afterwards. So I think it's just different aspects that by considering can be helpful to understand reality, but depends, it's not a rule. It doesn't mean that if one reads about processes in the Abhidhamma, is going to be understanding or kusala. It may just be delirious thinking. So it just depends. But by talking and considering more, it's a way that when we do read or reflect on these details, it can condition understanding. But it just depends.
You said seeing it makes sense, but the Santirana and Sampatichana.
I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm saying that.
How about Avajjana? Does it make sense?
It's not a question of making sense. Even Sampatichana makes sense. Even Santirana makes sense. I'm not saying it doesn't. Votapana makes sense.
Because these are all functions of Chitta.
So it can't be verified. No, I'm saying, when thinking about them without reference to something that you understand, say for example seeing or hearing, by thinking about them abstractly, how does it help to understand anatta?
Yeah, but if you think about functions, it's not abstract anymore. So you need, there is avajjana before seeing, and then there is seeing, and there is also the simile of the doorkeeper.
It makes sense. If I talk about function of Santirana, Sampatichana.
Yeah,
it makes sense. But what is the understanding?
Can I offer a suggestion?
When we're given this information, of course, it can't be directly verified, but it can be like a hypothesis that we keep in mind. If we didn't have this information, we might hold a view that contradicts it. For example, if we hadn't heard about Kama Vipaka and Parisamijita and so forth, we might have been brought up with a view quite different to that of Kama. We hear about Kama, we can't verify it immediately, but we can hold the information and see if our experience is consistent with that explanation. Well, it's the same for these other bits of information, because they do help to explain that everything is just elements arising and falling away one after the other, performing functions. Because if we didn't know about that element of that function, we may have an assumption that contradicts it. So it's important to have all the pieces of the jigsaw to have been informed about them. That's all. And then as Banya develops, more things fall into place by direct experience.
Yes.
I think this is pariyatti. Even if you don't know directly, experience avajjana, it's still the way things are in reality. And the first level of understanding is pariyatti, so it needs to make...
When there is understanding.
Yes, yeah. It needs to be understood intellectually first, to be further in pati-pati, I think.
And I think that even the seeing right now, it's not the direct understanding with direct awareness.
No.
So how can there be conditions to condition that moment? Because it does mean that when there is seeing, we know seeing, or we understand seeing as not self. We just learn to understand that seeing now is conditioned. It arises and falls away. Little by little, no matter what word or other reality, like Sampatichana, Santirana, or anything else, like Hatiyawatu, femininity, masculinity, see, we just learn to understand what Buddha taught about the truth of everything in life, that it cannot be directly discerned at once, but it takes time to just develop the understanding of the benefit of knowing what is true in one's life from birth to death, enough to understand what appears in life until it is the Four Noble Truths.
And it is about now, because you dhammas are arising now, even as we talk.
So don't mind thinking about anything. Just learn what Buddha taught. to see whether who can teach like this. So he knew better than anyone. That's why his teachings is so quite different from others. From his panya, his great wisdom, great virtues, and great compassion. Even direct awareness of seeing is not known yet until it's conditioned.
I have a question about Vedana from a discussion with Alberto. I always thought about the function of Vedana as just being to feel or taste the object, to experience by tasting the object. We were looking at a quote in the Visuddhimagga about the function of how Vedana changes depending on whether it's sukha, dukkha, somanasa, domanasa, or upekkha. And it says, for example, in the case of pleasant bodily feeling, its function is to strengthen the realities it associates with. In the case of unpleasant bodily feeling, it's to make them wither. For example, in the case of Domanasa, it's to get hold of whatever object is undesirable. In the case of equanimity, it has the function of neither strengthening nor making realities it associates with wither. Anything that can be said about the different functions, or?
I think that when we read Tipitaka, we try to follow the words. But can we understand the distinction between the characteristic and the function? Anything which appears, the characteristic only appears. So instead of knowing more and more about the function and so on, what about just learn little by little to understand that as a reality? Yeah. Otherwise, no matter we try very hard to understand the words of the teaching, it's impossible until there is the beginning of understanding that now there is a reality and what are they? Different reality, like seeing is now, thinking is real. So we learn little by little from the teachings to understand the reality which appears in order to have conditions for direct awareness and direct understanding better than just knowing that now we are learning about whatever appears.
I mean, first we have to know what it is before we know what it does.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just out of the room. So Ajahn was just saying, with regard to your quote, that more important to just know the characteristic which appears, not try to follow the words or try to understand what it means.
Yeah, I agree with what she just said.
But may I say that to understand about the function of Iksha, reality is that we support for the understanding of non-self, because no one dare to do that. Just it, each chitta of chitta do does its function.
You follow the words.
Follow the words.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's all right to hear about the functions of different chittas and chetasikas. But you know, our understanding is still so weak that we mistake different dharmas. We don't even know what seeing is. So if we're talking about the function of seeing, then it's like just repeating words. It's not really understanding this seeing as it is and how it performs that function.
But from the very right moment of seeing you, you say that it's necessary to understand that it is non-self then.
As soon as you see, right now, after you hear that seeing's not self, or it takes time, quite a long time.
Yeah,
quite a long, long time. Because you see that if we are thinking about a function of thought and we forget that even now it's unknown. So keep on thinking a lot without paying attention more and more by conditions to see that there can be the understanding of function after realizing that what appears is not self. But still, I don't think that anyone can understand its function because only the characteristic is hard to understand as not self. Just learn about the Panya of the Sammasambuddha to condition movement of direct awareness and understanding of whatever he taught.
That remind is helpful. So how about the other two, which is the manifestation and
So I think even same. I have a hard time understanding manifestation and distinguishing manifestation from characteristics. But proximate cause, of course, that's going to be even harder because it involves more than just that Dhamma, because it's caused by another Dhamma which you don't know, right, which you don't yet understand. So it's characteristic which we have to understand first. Can you say something about manifestation, Achan?
What about characteristic? Without characteristic, yeah. How can that manifest itself?
How can it appear?
Mm-hmm.
So no more questions now, Ajahn. So no more questions now.
One or two evenings, yeah, we've had some discussion about death and cittas arising before death. And there are a couple of points that came up as questions and others may have now. For example, I mentioned that just like now, death can come any time, like after thinking about manifestation, death may come. And after thinking about manifestation,
yeah.
Like now, what I mean is just like now, any time, death can come. After any kusala and akusala cittas, and how the object, if death were to come, the object, it can be any object, just like now, thinking about some past deed, thinking about manifestation, visible object, any object at all. But there were some comments about how it doesn't seem to be just like now, because we read and hear about how the last kusala and akusala cittas before death are conditioned by karma that can bring result by way of patisandhi immediately after death. And we don't talk about kusala and akusala now as conditioned by karma. And another point that is difficult for everyone to appreciate is how kusala or akusala now accumulates all past karma, so the chaitana arising now accumulates all past chaitana, but like now it's not karmapata that will bring a result, but just before death it can be any previous deed because it's been accumulated. So for example, in the case of Devadatta, when creating a schism in the order, the deed will bring result of rebirth because the deed has been accumulated. But this is another difficult point. Anything you can say on these two points?
Another difficult point. So what's the benefit of thinking about this at any time?
Mm.
think it's just to remind one that it can come now. So, like, actually, this citta now rises and
that.
Falls away, and that's
yeah, we following. Know that. But what's the benefit of understanding it? The benefit is don't be careless, heedless. Yeah. I'll try more to think about it before death.
So you're saying that's about how much we can understand.
Yeah. In this life. Mm-hmm. And it will be accumulated to next life too.
Just what I said, that's it, no more.
It's a very difficult not only to think about citta before death, it's a very difficult to see attachment to at that very moment. Mm-hmm. See?
I mean,
yeah.
It's difficult to see the attachment when thinking about that.
About asking, talking about it. Mm-hmm.
Immediately when we think about death, there's so much attachment and aversion and fear.
Wanting to understand. It's also loba.
And if someone raises a point and it's not clear, well, one can just say that's as far as I know or understand, and that's enough. Otherwise it can lead to more confusion or worry. Who was asking? I forget. David, would you like to?
No, that's fine. I'm satisfied.
Or anything more about Devadatta or anything?
And I can see, I'm just reminded about a trip to Burma, I think, when one of the Burmese mentioned about father or something, as father, mother was dying and
what to do,
and talking about how to maybe opening a tape or something before death, and people can't just see the attachment at that time, and it's gonna like the very thing you want to avoid. You're encouraging it. You know?
Can we say, Kunsujan, that sometimes if we're in the presence of somebody who we know is very close to death, or we suspect that strongly, that it can be really helpful, because we know that, well, I know in Sri Lanka they often bring in the monks and they chant the suttas. I'm aware that, you know, that can be just a lot of attachment. There are sometimes people can remind people of their kusala deeds and how they've spent their life, and I think that can be really helpful. Can we say that sometimes we can be helpful with that person, and even if it's just our own attitude sometimes?
The question of attachment.
The question of attachment.
Or from attachment.
I'm not quite following you, Kunsujan.
What motivates that question?
Well, it is. Yeah, I can sense that at some level.
See, we talk about that which appears, like seeing, hearing, so forth, and also attachment, in order to understand it little by little, because it's always there in the day.
Detachment's always there, at some level, I agree. I'm just imagining, you know,
trying to do something, mm-hmm. whether it's supporting or whether it's
not
conditioned. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing, mm-hmm. most valuable, is right understanding. Little by little, as much as it can develop.
Sometimes I've heard you at the same time say that if you're in circumstances like this, if you're faced with someone who is about to die,
Can
you just help them as much as you can.
But can you do anything?
You cannot do anything.
There must be conditions for such certain
if
situation.
The person is not ready to listen, it's like now. It's like now. So if they're not ready to understand Dharma, so you please them as you would try to please them when they're living. You know, it's just showing kindness. You can't force Dharma into anyone.
No, it's not so much that even. It's just I can imagine that, there's going to be attachment at some level. It's possible to avoid. I'm just aware that it seems like it's also a good opportunity for kusala at some level.
Speculation.
And of course, there's a difference between trying to help someone understand the Dhamma and reciting suttas for them to listen to. Because we know from our own experience that just reading suttas, it's understood with all the wrong view that one has anyway. So what is helpful is the explanation that's appropriate to our level of understanding and our situation at that moment.
What about doing it now?
I mean, we heard that you attended to Achan Nep when she was dying, you didn't try to convert her. So just help as much as you could.
Depending on conditions. And that's the way we understand conditions.
What I remember when this gentleman in Burma that you mentioned came to visit Ajahn, and one of his parents was dying, and he just wanted to, he kept asking Ajahn what he should do. And her response was like, well, you know best, it's your parent, and you just do whatever you think, and now there is seeing, now there is visible object. And afterwards, what I remember is other people in the group said, oh, Ajahn didn't really tell him, and she didn't really help him, because he wanted her to say, oh, recite a sutta, or turn on the table, or get a special meal, or bring in the monks. And she didn't. She just said, the seeing now, this visible object. Because there is no rule what will happen or what one does. It just depends on conditions, and one knows one's own parent better than anyone else.
And you don't have to wait for that moment. Any person you meet, see whether it works.
If you want to be skillful at encouraging other people to understand, there's opportunity now.
He's not talking. Where I live, just outside my window, is a crematorium at the Watt, and every time I sit down and look out the window, I see the crematorium. And often there are people coming, and sometimes there's smoke coming out, and it reminds me that death is very ordinary. It comes to all, and it's not some phenomena that is not something that happens in daily life, just day after day after day.
There is no understanding of Bhajya, but each moment is conditioned by Bhajya, see?
And we could say that, like, if we would like to influence someone's kusala, or if these kusala or akusala chittas now for someone here were their last kusala or akusala chittas in life, and we would like to influence it, but they rise and pass away so rapidly by their own conditions and by accumulation, so no one can change them or influence them, or who can stop someone having attachment or aversion right now. It's,
and in the end, it's only through our own understanding can we help anyone, so it all comes back to developing our own understanding.
Be confident in Sankara Khanda. Not me, not anyone. Sankara Khandas are working, it's their own way, with Panya. when there is understanding.
And we can see how attachment brings up its own concerns and makes us think this way and that way. And because of ignorance, it sometimes appears as if it's a good thing, but it's really not. Attachment is never good. And at John, we can see how ignorance is the worst.
Okay.
With attachment, there's ignorance.
That's why Dhammam Saranam Gacchami, the teachings, are our refuge. See, reality appears, it depends on sati and panya and sankara kanda, how much there can be understanding of that.
So when you say you separate sati and panya and sankara kanda, are you referring to other conditions? Like what? Can you give an example?
For example, there are 40 jetasikas as sankara kanda. 50 jetasikas. But we talk about one by one. That's why we talk about sati, which is not panya.
What she means is sati, panya, and the other, sankara, kanda.
Parsa, see? Jedana.
No, and what I'm thinking is panya now arises because of cumulative panya. And we know that the fact is like that sati, samadhi, you know, are conditioned in that moment. But panya itself is, if there was no panya, there would not be panya now, if there was no panya in the past. So when you say sankara tandas, I thought you meant that there are other dhammas, other accumulated tendencies that help.
All as sankhara kanda. So no one, even panya, even parsa, even jetana, even other jetasikas, are not self.
I've asked this question. Apart from panya, accumulated panya, are there other dhammas which help condition panya now?
Just panya?
Panya does not arise alone. There must be others.
Mm.
So, are we saying that it's because sati also rose in the past that there can be sati now?
All conditioned, accumulated. It's so very difficult to see the work of all sankhara kanda from moment to moment. Like yesterday, we heard a lot about the teachings. And what about today? Come from yesterday, accumulated sankhara kanda.
That's why they call it sankhara kanda.
Mm-hmm. Like whenever panya arises, it's also conditioned by all the other citta seekers that arise with it, and the citta, so they all condition each other. So they accumulate together, condition each other. Panya conditions the virya, the panya, and so the manasikara, and they condition it in turn.
And the previous one conditions the next one. See, the next one is different from that one, but it comes from that one. That's why the citta in the universal are countless, new at any time. Not the same one at all, always new one. It's different from the previous one. So uncountable level of sati, uncountable level of panya. And nothing is left, completely gone for good.
And besides, it's not like each time panya arises, it's going to be of greater strength. Sometimes panya of weaker level arises
by conditions. That's the way to become detached from clinging to any khanda. That's why it takes quite a long, long time to get rid or eradicate all kusalas, all akusalas. Very, very natural, because sati can arise and fall away. Very weak, one at a time. And panya sees when it grows, getting just a little bit stronger because of detachment. If there's still attachment, it's so great, it means that panya is so very weak.
So is that the developing of understanding and developing of detachment is like two hands, Ajahn?
What do you mean by two hands?
One will support the other.
At the same time, together, arising and falling away.
I think that it may arise together or not.
Do you mean they can arise separately?
Is that right?
No.
When there's right understanding, is there attachment or detachment at that moment?
I'm not sure that at the moment of right understanding, then it also includes detachment.
Aloba. Aloba rises with every kusala citta, so at a moment of understanding, aloba must be there, non-attachment. So whenever there is understanding, there is detachment. So when understanding develops, detachment also develops. Aloba, adosa always arise with every kusala citta.
But the two causes of suffering, there are two, not one. Ignorance and attachment.
Okay. So when understanding arises, any ignorance or any attachment?
Up to now, I don't think so, because sometimes the...
Impossible, because attachment and ignorance only arise with akusala citta. So when
because one may have strong understanding, but the attachment is too strong, and it may be overwhelmed by attachment.
Then no understanding at those times, no understanding at all, because it cannot be understanding and attachment together.
The development of panya does not depend on the level of attachment. Panya can be developed despite there being strong attachment at other times. It's not a prerequisite. The development of panya can begin this moment because there are realities appearing that can be understood. It's a matter of hearing the right Dhamma and considering it appropriately. regardless of one's accumulations of attachment or dosa for that matter too. Seeing appears now, visible object appears now.
I wonder if you're thinking in terms of attachment to sensuous objects and whether if there's less attachment to sensuous object, that helps Panya.
Yeah, it can be.
I'm thinking.
Even you may have understanding and don't do bad, but you may still enjoy the sensual pleasure because it doesn't harm anyone.
We are talking about whether there is the opportunity to hear the Dhamma and consider it. If there's that opportunity like we have now, then there may be condition for some understanding of Dhammas to arise regardless of how much we like watching the TV in the evening or going dancing or whatever. Just not relevant to the development of Panya, hearing Dhamma, considering it.
I mean, I've heard you say a few times before, but I'm not clear, and I would like you to explain. You talk about detachment by virtue of understanding there's detachment. Can you say something about
that? I think that if we talk about one citta at a time, it is clear. We are now talking about the development of Panya, see? Not I, but the development of Panya itself, when it arises more often.
And non-attachment arises with, alopa arises with Panya. And what is the function of alopa at that time?
Alopa?
Yeah.
No attachment.
To the object.
Right.
And how is this alopa different from the alopa which arises with samatha and jhana?
Different level of panya which arises with it.
Different levels or different
panya, which arises with alopa.
So, and what is the difference in the panya?
Panya, which develops samatha, does not know anything about reality, which is not self. That's why it's mitcha patipada.
So this means that even if there's alopa developed through samatha, that does not necessarily condition panya.
No.
Because panya has to develop on its own.
Right understanding of reality is not just that which sees the danger of sensuous object.
And then there can also be a loba arising with no panya too.
Yes, okay. And a moment of pusa.
And like we just mentioned with the other example, it's each chetasika is conditioned by the other chetasikas that arise with it. So a loba that arises with different kinds of panya.
So a loba which arises with such very weak panya, can it be like a loba which arises with greater panya?
But at the same time we're talking about different kinds. Mm-hmm. So a loba which arises with pariyati is of the same kind which arises with patipati and pativeta. But a loba that arises with samatha bhavana is different kind. To this And the alopa of Patipati Pativeda starts with alopa that arises with pariyati.
These are pariyati, no conditions for the awareness of Patipati.
Even now, at moments of wise considering or understanding, no matter how little it is, at those moments now, there is aloba, there is detachment, non-attachment. And shortly afterwards, there may be attachment to what's seen or heard instantly. It doesn't matter at all, each one is conditioned. So in a day, even in a few moments now, moments of attachment, moments of non-attachment. So it's always like this. It's not a matter of avoiding the attachment or trying to have non-attachment, but through developing understanding, detachment develops naturally. When there's trying to have more detachment or trying not to have attachment, that's just more attachment that's accumulating. Like if one thinks one will go to the forest to have less attachment, that is attachment, just wanting to have less attachment. So it has the opposite effect of what one would like.
And can you say, sir, that the idea that less attachment to sensuous pleasure is will help understanding is wrong understanding, and that's with attachment.
What about without hearing the teachings at all?
The people during the Buddha's time, before his time, they developed jhana, very high panya of that level. Would that have led to panya, vipassana panya?
They need to fulfill or develop what they like.
What is that?
If they lack of right understanding, then they need to develop the understanding.
So they have to start with pariyati. Right.
Many qualities need to develop and fulfill.
Sure. I'd have to
hear the teaching, right? Yeah, that's one. What are the other conditions for developing understanding besides hearing the teachings? What else?
Can you tell me?
When you said that's one, so according to your idea, what are the others?
You mean the other path factors?
Yeah.
Hmm. Or the barons?
Yeah.
What paramis are now? Or no parami?
There must be.
So what? What paramis?
I think for me, everything is very weak than too many qualities that need to develop.
Your own words are from Tipitaka.
From Tipitaka, I heard Buddha mention a lot of good qualities, which I find that I don't have, so that I think that I don't.
What are they?
All the parami, all the factors of noble effort, but all the wholesome mentality or verbal or
very, very wide. Very, very wide. Sometime or something or all.
I have a question.
you're talking about the Noble Eightfold Path as separate qualities to develop. So in Noble Eightfold Path we have Samadhi, one example, right? And then we have Samadhi as Barami too. What's the difference? Do you develop one way and the other another way?
If you know, please tell me.
I don't know. I'm asking you because you have to develop this also, you have to develop that also.
I don't know. If you know, please tell me.
So it's your idea, right? But we have to know what paramis are there, the 10. Dana parami. Is there no dana now? Or is there dharma? Sharing dharma, is it not dana parami?
It is.
See, it doesn't mean that just read and just think by oneself. But
and not necessary to think. Mm-hmm. When it's there, it's there. It's not, parami is not something like you, I have to do, you know. When you think like that, then it's not parami.
And if there's, when there's the idea of
I have dana parami or I don't have parami, it's not understand like right now at the moment of sharing. It is dana parami, and then gone. So it's not a matter of I have it or I don't have it. Just arise for a moment, and then no more. No need to cling to it or wish it was there all the time, otherwise it's just clinging to oneself again. And like sila parami, it can be now, like.
Yeah, I know when sari dhamma is dana.
Just for a moment of sharing. And sila parami, like now through one's behavior or actions or courtesy or can be now, all the paramis, virya, at moment now, listening and attending and appreciating what it said, virya parami, even at this moment, not a matter of I have or I don't have, it arises at those moments, satya parami, when one appreciates the truth of what is said. Getting closer to the truth of reality now. Nekama parami, that moment of kusala now, with understanding what is said. There is renunciation. There's no akusala. There is the renouncing of akusala at this very moment. Metta parami, when we're friendly or helpful to our friends. Aditana, having the determination or seeing the value of what is said. Panya parami. All the paramis are just about now, just arise for a moment, fall away. So it's not someone has them or doesn't have them. They're just conditioned dharmas. It's not like reading the book and saying, I don't have this quality or I have this quality or he has that quality. That's all just self-thinking. But these are just dharmas which are conditioned, which can be understood a little more when they arise. And like Sukhin said, the path factors just the same, like now, sama samadhi, at this moment of listening to the teachings, not a matter of not having enough concentrating or needing to go somewhere else. That's not sama samadhi. Sama samadhi is the moment when there is understanding right now. So it's a waste of time to think I have these qualities or I don't have these qualities.
What do you think? The people before the Buddha's times who were recluses, who lived in the forest, who saw the danger of sensuous attachment, were they at that time developing nekama? As a barami?
So do we develop only what is the difference of the Buddha's teaching from others,
all what wholesome I need to do to develop. Never mind that it is Buddha's teaching or that's someone else's teaching.
But we know that the Buddha's teachings is aimed at enlightenment and...
Yeah, that is the highest. And of course, cannot lack of it. But for those, I think I am... don't have... in normal saying that don't have enough other wholesome enough, then also need to develop.
It doesn't matter. I mean, so therefore we must start with little. If there's little metta, but when it's understood as just a dhamma, right? The little metta understood as just a dhamma, it is aimed at enlightenment, then it becomes a parami. On the other hand, lots of metta, conditioning jhana, but not seen as a conditioned dhamma, not seen as dukkha, how can it be parami?
Does anyone who doesn't understand parami develop parami? If one does not understand what parami is, can that person develop parami? Just looking for developing parami without understanding what parami is, right? For example, looking for giving away things, dana, but what for? The purpose of giving dana is for what? If there is no understanding about parami, can't that moment of dana be parami? Or just for the self, for me, who look for dana?
Of course, I need to study much more. But when you are here, then I would like to ask about the path to develop.
Yes. Okay. Anyone who does not understand the path, can that person develop the path?
That's why I will need to ask you about the path, and after that, only after that can develop the path.
Okay. The path leads to what you are looking for, or you want to understand. What path? The path which will lead to understanding, enlightenment, or what? What path you'd like to understand? Are we not now on the path? Every moment. But what kind of path?
Just on this question of parami, we can say that the Buddha, in past lives, he developed the parami life after life after life after life.
And he knew what parami is.
And though at that time, whatever he was born as, human or non-human even at times, he didn't have at those moments the wisdom of Lokottarachitta behind him.
But he listened a lot from previous Buddhas before his enlightenment, 24.
Special.
Yeah.
Very special.
It does mean that he didn't know anything at all about the aim or the path. So why do we try to find out about the truth of whatever appears? because full of ignorance in the day. And who likes to have more? Is it useful to have ignorance? Or can we try to have less by ourselves without understanding anything? Is the teachings of the Buddha subtle or not? Or very easy to read? It can be understood as soon as one comes across any word by our own thinking or what? Or it needs studying carefully, wisely, to understand each word, like Dhamma and Anatta. Starting from that and keep on Dhamma and Anatta all the way, otherwise the self comes in. Anytime, very soon.
So can we make it into a mantra? No, just joking. I have a question. Just now Sundara brought up about the Buddha's past lives as a bodhisattva.
Can we say that this one of our life for Savaka Bodhisattva?
It must be. It must be.
Exactly the same.
When he taught other, he could not have taught the path to anyone, but could he? I'm sure he must have encouraged other people also to develop Parami.
It depends on what life. So many, many lives with or without understanding reality, like when he was a lion or so on. Mm-hmm.
So there are other ways to develop Parami. Exactly what is Parami?
The reality that can eradicate defilements.
So for example, in one of the Bodhisattva's lives as an animal, he was developing one of the Paramis. And
by nature,
could some other animal be inspired by his behavior to
not
also
not like him,
but also have?
It depends on whether that person is Paccheka or Savaka, Bodhisattva. Three kinds of Bodhisattva.
Mm. So, because we know that many of his disciples were. In many lifetimes.
Like Sariputta,
Savaka,
Bodhisattva, and previous life of Buddha, Mahabodhisattva.
So they were also developing Parami together.
Before there can be enlightenment, it needs lots of life and Parami to be conditions.
And what I understand, Sundara, is that some of those lives, right understanding was being developed, but not to the level of Vipassana and Jnana until just before enlightenment. So the right understanding is developing, that's why the Parami could be developing, but not to the point of Vipassana and Jnana, otherwise the enlightenment would have occurred earlier.
One day we don't know when, maybe one of us or many can become enlightened. And this life is Savaka Bodhisattva.
Actually, it can happen to anyone, anytime.
By conditions, and Panya is conditions.
Because so long as we're not Sotapannas or reach Vipassana, there is a lot of defilements, lots of ignorance anyway, so we cannot measure.
Mm-hmm. Like we were saying the other day, we don't know what accumulations will suddenly manifest at any time.
So without Panya is not Parami. Looking for Dana without understanding, that cannot be Parami.
But
Right.
So it is sadbharami in the sense that there is accumulation for dana.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever there's panya, that can be
become
bharami.
Be able to give away things, so it can condition to give away the idea of self, the clinging. But only that without panya cannot condition enlightenment. And that tattoo takes more time to develop without panya, but with dana, until with dana and little panya and other kusala and more panya, see, from moment to moment, reality, not self at all. Is this moment different from yesterday? In all aspects. By conditions. So next life, who would know? What condition? Citta chetasika rupa, to be born. So this life is only this life. And each moment is each moment, different ones all the time. Are we on the path? See?
As the lay follow.
Which path?
As a lay follower, we're following the Buddha's teachings. So
the path, we can say, the path of kusala and the path of kusala, which will condition next life. Almost reach destination, which we don't know what plane, in what form, shape.
Why you bring this up?
So that we realize that Dhamma is Dhamma, no self, no me, just then, this life.
But then again, nobody knows the last citta.
Right? See? That's why we can be this personality only in this life. No more after death. And who knows who in next life. So everyone is on the path leading to what will come after death. And that is who knows when and where and how, by conditions. So the best thing in one's life is understanding realities. It's not me, the way it is, the way Tattu is, the way Dhamma is, by conditions. And this is the purpose of Buddha, taught metta and maranasati as sapattika kamadana. Beneficial.
Sapattika
dhamma.
What please speak to that more. Sapattika.
The two.
Sa, are you with?
Sabba.
A sabba.
Mm-hmm.
Tika.
Kamatana.
Mm-hmm.
Object of pondering or working on. So very beneficial.
Oh, you mean the ones he mentioned for reflection every day?
By conditions.
Mm.
Like
very
death,
useful.
Death or metta.
What's the other two?
Death, metta.
Only two.
Only two?
Sapatika, in all time, anytime, any day, any situation.
Naturally, not by trying to reflect
by conditions. By hearing, it can condition when we're thinking about that.
Intellectual understanding. Mm-hmm. Anyone know that sutta where the Buddha mentioned about the benefits of studying Dhamma, even if someone didn't believe in rebirth? Past and future lives.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember what are those benefits he might have?
As I recall, he said that whether or not you believe in a future life and the result of deeds, at least you have the comfort of knowing that by doing kusala in this life, you're not harming others. So regardless of one's belief about the future, it makes sense to develop kusala and not to develop akusala.
So it is saying that
in a way he taught about the cause and effect, or the cause and the result. Good deeds will bring good result even in that life.
So what kind of cause and effect that is?
Right conditions. Wholesome deeds will produce what? Or condition what? From the cause which is good. So what is produced or result must be also good as result.
Well, I can see that kusala is accompanied by pleasant or neutral feelings, and it is peaceful, it is calm.
It doesn't hurt anyone.
No regret. No regret.
Later.
Yes, that also. So what is the relationship? You're saying cause and effect.
To understand the right cause will bring the right result. When the cause is akusala, how can it produce or bring that which is wholesome or pleasant?
But usually when we talk about cause, kusala or akusala as cause, we're talking about vipaka as being the result.
Yes. So akusala conditioned the akusala vipaka only. It cannot condition the kusala vipaka.
Right.
So that's what he taught, that if one does not harm the other, even in this life.
But as Jonathan was mentioning, if there is kusala, there's no kukucha or regret. So what is the relationship between this?
You talk about the kusala, so it doesn't bring or condition the kukucha.
One sleeps well and isn't agitated. Same thing. So it's not by vipaka, but by accumulation.
But also we know that kukucha is conditioned, so it's by accumulations that either whether someone will regret or not. Some people do a kusala and not even think about it, don't have any kind of regret.
But one also knows that at moments of akusala, one is agitated, there is restlessness, there is disturbance, that akusala disturbs one. Whereas at moments there's no calm at all, whereas at moments of kusala there is calm. So at moments of akusala, actually more and more agitated and disturbed.
Yeah, it may not manifest or seemingly manifest itself, but reality is not self, and akusala kamma will always bring the accompanying dhammas that go along with it. You know, like, because I remember, you know, there are lots of situations you see some people, like, I don't know, take an extreme example, like the James Bonds of the world, you know, they can just seemingly kill and do all sorts of things with great, you know, savoir and seeming style, but you know, it's just on the outside. you don't really know.
Sure. But then again, to regret later on, even for us, you know, who have some understanding about the value of kusla and akusla and the harm of akusla, for regret to arise at a later time, it requires conditions, and so not necessarily follow. It can happen. It's likely to happen. It's not a rule.
I'm not following you, Jonathan. What do you mean it's not a rule?
Well, as Sukhin earlier gave the example of someone who doesn't have regret for a gusla done. So it's not to say that everyone does necessarily, but it's not a rule that...
And some may enjoy.
Some may thrive on it and boast of it and go to their grave bragging about all the gusla they've done.
They did not see that kilesa itself harms citta at that very moment.
That's right. That's what I'm perhaps misunderstanding there, because I always think that it's endemic. It's in the nature of citta that there is, there is kukucha, all the other akusla chetasikas that go along with that, and there will be consequences from that kind of choice. Well, somewhere down in Sangsara, probably. Not always, I know.
It harms when it arises.
Yeah, absolutely, that's right. It harms invariably when it arises. And I think of, I suppose, a classic example in the text is the case of Ajatasattu, who, you know, he killed his father, and he had a lot of, and it got in the way of him being able to become enlightened. The Buddha said he would become enlightened, but because he had done that kind of deed, that really... He couldn't have a kutuachitta. So I always, I'm not quite sure if I'm misunderstanding or something here, because it seems to me that a kutsala always has its own, inverted commas, reward. It always has its consequences. I can't say, like we speak about some people who are sociopaths, and people say, oh, they don't have a conscience. And I always have great difficulty with that, because I think they always will. They may not seem to have, worry about it, but it's just the nature of citta. Citta is not self, and I'm sort of not wondering what I'm perhaps missing or misunderstanding here.
I think this sutta is actually pointing out to the akusla itself. So when there's bad deed, that itself is unwholesome, and if kukucha follows, that also is not peaceful. So it's just the nature.
And there can be some bad results from kamapata even in that life.
Going to jail or something.
You call that kamapata?
And the best thing is to know that not me, not I at all. The Dhamma.
So, can you tell me that when I feel restless or worry about something or not sleep well, so is that the result of bad karma or is that the result of bad of akusala accumulation?
The accumulation of akusala.
The result of karma is vipaka.
Then of the verbal body?
No, to seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, tasting, or rebirth, But if you talk about result, it's accumulations. What this is accumulations. Just the accumulated tendency to worry.
But that is the past accumulation, right?
Yeah,
bring the result.
It's arising again by conditions. It's like habitual.
So it means new accumulation.
Yeah, of course. Each time it arises, it accumulates.
It's not anything to do. We're not talking about karma and vipaka. It's not karma and result. It's not the result of past karma. It's the accumulated tendency, like we talked the other day about
panya now accumulates, it builds up, it develops in the same way dosa and regret accumulate, they build up by that condition that we've talked a lot about, paktu panisya pachya. So they accumulate, not the result of karma.
So now each moment of regret now accumulates, builds up, conditioning more in future.
When we talk about vipaka, we mean the experiencing of an object through one of the sense doors. Seeing visible object, hearing sound, etc. Just those moments.
So
anything else is not vipaka.
So the kusala and the kusala jittas
in the jhavana process, they are not vipaka. And the following mind door moments that think about what's been experienced through the sense door, they are not vipaka.
Yeah, the
mind door moments that think about the object that has been experienced through the sense door, they are not vipaka.
There's no such thing as vipaka through the mind door. No such thing as vipaka through the mind door. It's only.
What is rebirth? What is death?
It's not the result
not
of.
Through a doorway.
Not through a doorway.
No.
Birth and death.
Not through any doorway.
Like, no one can sort of.
Phalachitta is a result of Lokutrajitta. And that's not through the doorway.
Except the Lokutra. So, please.
But birth and death, Patisandhi and Chuti, they're Bhavanga Chitas, like Bhavanga Chitas, not through the doorway.
So doorways, you mean five?
All the mind.
Five doorways.
So six.
Six doorways, but the Bhavanga Chitas, moment of birth, Bhavanga Chitas and death, they are said to be process freed. They don't arise and experience their object through any doorway. They arise in between doorways.
And also, if there was such a thing as vipaka through the mind door, you could never get out of samsara. That would not be possible, I don't believe. It would just be a trap. You couldn't. We always have the liberation, the potential by way of the mind. There is choice. There is always choice. It may not seem like it. It may not seem like it, but there is always choice.
I think it's the opposite. It
seems
like there is choice, but there is a choice.
That's a controversial one to bring up.
So what chittas are vipaka? How many are vipaka?
10.
Only? How can we know what moment is vipaka without learning from the Buddha's word? So how many vipakas are there altogether? How many vipakas altogether?
28.
Please, what are they?
I should have.
That's why we learn about different categories of citta. Ahetuka citta, kusala citta, kama vajra citta, rupa vajra, arupa vajra, and lokutra. We cannot know by ourselves, but we can learn.
Well, in the sense door, there's seeing, hearing, smelling,
tasting. If we don't talk about sense, then we talk about the category of citta.
How many?
Okay. Let's talk about hetuka cittas. Those citta which do not accompany by hetu at all. How many are there? Are hetuka?
18.
See, how many vipakas which are ahetuka vipaka? 15. And 3 are kiriya. See?
Nano, dvara, vachana. It's kiriya. And
otherwise, we think the wild one thinks it's vipaka, but actually, it's not impossible. So, the 10 cittas, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, are ahetuka without hetu, pajya. It can arise by conditions upatti. With 7 jetasikas only, it needs only such 7 to be conditions. And the other vipaka, see, altogether there are 15, right? And this is 10. These jetas are 10. So, how much more? How many more? 5 more. 2 sampatichanas, kusala vipaka, and akusala vipaka. Because they are vipaka.
That's why I said 12, because I put sampatichana as 1 as
well. Yes, and 3 more, and 3 more, and 3 more, see? Not only sampatichana, which are vipaka, 3 more are 3 santiranas. 15 ahetuka vipaka, and then the result of karma vajra, 8. Vipaka of rupa vajra, 5. Vipaka of arupa vajra, 4. And vipaka of lokutra, 4. That's all. No more than that. So by this we can see the thinking is not vipaka. But when we learn more, there's more exception. Little by little, adding. So, is thinking vipaka now? Or is thinking now vipaka?
I didn't catch up with what you have just lived, so I think the thinking is not the vipaka.
Mm-hmm.
And regret, worry, not the result, right?
It is the accumulation.